Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Underwear, armpit hair, many imitators, but no one compares.
Badass Women's Hour XL with Harriet Minter, Natalie Campbell, and Emma Sexton on Talk Radio.
One, two, three, four!
Welcome to the Badass Women's Hour Extra Bit, a little clip from our Talk Radio show that we thought you'd enjoy. This week, we meet author Holly Bourne. She's an ambassador for the Women's Aid Love Respect campaign, and we talked to her about why we so easily mistake the signs of abuse for signs of love, what we can do about it, and the new type of feminist hero she wants to see written. Emma and Natalie were away for this show, so it's me, Harriet Minter, with guest hosts Layla Ruas and Amanda Prowse.
We are talking about respect and relationships with Holly Bourne, author of How Do You Like Me Now and ambassador for the Love Respect campaign with Women's Aid. Holly, thank you so much for joining us here on Badass Women's Hour.
Thank you for having me.
One of the things when I was kind of reading about the work you've been doing with Women's Aid that really shocked me was this stat that more than half of teenage girls have experienced some form of relationship abuse, but most of them don't realise it. When we are talking about relationship abuse, what does that cover? What comes under it?
I think what Love Respects has tried really hard to do is sort of focus on young people's relationships, because I think lots of people assume that abusive relationships are something that only happens to maybe married people or mothers, and there's this stereotypical idea that it always involves physical violence as well. So there's kind of an idea of covering up your black eye before you go on the school run. But what Love Respects is trying to do, and because I write young adult novels as well, I'm trying to reach teenagers and realise that, no, in fact, there's an epidemic of abusive relationships in young people's love lives, and there's also an epidemic of like misinformation about what abuse is, because it doesn't always have to be physical violence. In fact, a lot of young women experience severe emotional abuse in their first relationships, and also sexual abuse as well, but they just don't realize that's what it is, because we have kind of really normalized and romanticized, I believe, abusive relationships in our stories that we tell people.
I mean, I think that's a really interesting point that you say, that we've romanticized abusive behaviour. Can you give us some examples of some of the stuff we think is just delightful, and actually when you look at it, it's a bit weird?
I mean, I do ruin a lot of people's favourite romantic films, which is like, because I am a real romantic person myself. I think there's nothing more wonderful than love, and we're wired to attach to each other. Like, falling in love is the best thing in the world. Falling in love for the first time is so amazing, and in a healthy relationship that can be a hugely transformative part of your life. So I'm not anti-love. However, some of the stories that you see, particularly stories that are very popular on Netflix or popular teen books, things like Twilight and stuff, I believe are abusive relationships. So, I mean, Edward Cullen, for example, is like a textbook abuser. He stalks Bella throughout the books. He like gets into her house and watches her sleep. She actually ends up dying as a result of that relationship. I mean, yes, she becomes a vampire, but, you know, she's still dead. And, you know, she gets isolated, loses all her family and friends. Even like The Notebook starts with, I know, your face.
Oh, sorry. Not The Notebook. Oh,
you know, that start opens with Ryan Gosling threatening to kill himself in order to get a date. You know, he's hanging from a Ferris wheel going, go out with me. She says no. She's on a date with somebody else. And rather than go, I respect your decision, he's like, I'm going to try to kill myself unless you go on a date with me. And what these, and this is even like the kind of creepy guy in Love Actually with The Signs. These behaviours are always rewarded.
I know it's creepy,
it's
but when
so
I watched that film,
I've never seen it as creepy, but it is. Holly's taken the magic out of my eyes, and now I'm fearful.
But look, we were brought up with Thornbirds. Come on,
my favourite ever book.
Favourite ever, but that's
Unrequited
positive.
Last. Yeah, Ralph de Bracassar. I mean, he was a priest.
She was a child.
Yeah, don't go there.
So there we go.
That's a whole other programme. Like.
The problem is stories are massively powerful, and you know, they're how we make sense of our own lives, and romances are a wonderful thing to sit down and watch. But what I worry about is these stories mean that we internalize problematic messages, and then, as we say, we get this thing where one in three young women say that they've been in an abusive relationship. And actually, when you question those other two-thirds, you're like, oh, abuse, no, that's never happened to me. When you actually start going, have you experienced this, have you experienced that, they're like, oh yeah, I have. So there's lots of young women who don't even realize they've been in an abusive relationship.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think, Holly, that partly it's because they have these, and I'm not trying in any way to be superficial, these very good-looking men that women sort of, or certainly these girls, have the message, well, it's okay because he was so wonderful in every other way and so sexy and good-looking that actually we almost don't see it?
I do. So I go into schools a lot to sort of talk to my readers and teenagers about, you know, healthy relationships. And one of the things I play is the worm tail test. So I get worm tail from Harry Potter, which are all like, and I'm like, imagine if he was at the end of your bed when you woke up in the middle of night going, I like watching you sleep. You'd be like, oh, my Lord. And there's like, there's always these good looking men with cheekbones that you think would give you wonderful children. And, you know, like with six packs. And I think that can dazzle and distract. But I think actually the more worrying thing is that these, in romances, this abusive behaviour is actually always rewarded. They fall madly in love and they end up happily ever after, whereas actually, especially emotionally abused, like being stalked, being saying, you can't leave me, I will kill myself unless you break up with me, like that actually traumatizes you and means that you need usually a lot of therapy and recovery. So you don't, that's I think is more of a problem, is that these behaviors are romantically rewarded, whereas in real life the fallout of being in an abusive relationship can be life lasting.
Why do you think we are so attracted to this kind of narrative? Because I absolutely hear everything you're saying, and yet I know when I read those books that I fall in love with those characters as well, and I fall in love with the story and I root for them. Maybe less so now that I'm a bit older and I've had a bit
wiser.
More therapy. But there is always a part of me. Is that human nature, or is that what we have been brought up with?
I mean, I could be here until midnight. Like, I'm picking that. I think what Love Respect, the kind of website that Women's Aid kind of helps you educate young people about, kind of helps you realise that sometimes actually abusive relationships initially are really amazing. Yeah. And in my latest book, The Places I Cried in Public, which is all about a teenage girl trying to make sense of a really bad breakup, this guy initially is Mr. Film Star. And this is a known abuse tactic. Like, abuse is actually, initially it's called love bombing. They are of a perfect guy, and you do feel that you're in the movies, and it's just wonderful. And it's an uncomfortable thing to say that abusive relationships initially are wonderful, but it's actually a tactic to get you in thinking, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever. But then when they start removing that amazing and start criticizing you or stopping you from seeing your friends or go in a mood and do not talk to you for 2 days and you're walking on eggshells and you don't know what you've done wrong and how to get it back, you're constantly chasing that high from the beginning. I kind of like to tell young people, like, go for the slow burn. Honestly, the slow burn, you know, like it's a stew that should, the flavor should be getting deeper and deeper rather than in these grand romantic gestures, again, which you see in the movies all the time. If you don't know this person, you can't be saying, you're the love of my life, you're my soulmate. You don't know them. And it, because we've been so trained with the stories that we've grown up with to think that's romantic, I think so many of us fall foul. But abusers are very charming and very charismatic, and anyone can fall victim.
As a mother, I find it really scary. But what, you know, as just as a mother, a sister, a friend, how do you recognise somebody, you know, a young 15-year-old, 16-year-old is in an abusive relationship? How would I even recognize, especially when it's kind of veiled almost?
Yeah, and lots of the time the victim will cover for the abuser.
Yeah.
And also lots of the time, because of nature, especially in emotional abuse, kind of erodes your sense of self. You can start having mental health problems because you're being abused, but therefore that makes you quite an unreliable narrator. So you're kind of like, oh, they're crazy and they're this and that. And it's like, no, they're just traumatized. So there are some warning signs that you can look for. And that's why Women's Aid made Love Respect, to educate not only young people, but people who want to know about what to look for. And so you can go on to the website and do a test, or if you're worried about a friend or a family member, it kind of gives you things to look out for. But it tends to be they kind of start isolating themselves from their friends and family. They seem quite scared, just not themselves. They maybe start like apologizing all the time. They just don't have any time for anything apart from the relationship. They're just quite consumed, and they just sort of, I kind of say it's like coastal erosion. Slowly the person that you know since falling in love with this person is sort of just being eroded away, and they're kind of getting kind of more dulled down. But it's very subtle, and that's why it's at such epidemic levels, because you're looking for the black eye.
Even things like social media. I mean, you can sort of be abused by not even... when you haven't even met them. I mean, it's even through social media, things like Snapchat, where these young girls are talking to strangers. I imagine it happens a lot online too.
Yeah, social media, I don't think makes abusive relationships any better. Mm. This ability now to be able to know where your partner is at any given time, and, you know, with GPS tracking has been, you know, can be hugely misused in an abusive relationship where you can't, they're like, I know where you're not where you say you are. And so it can make it worse and worse. Technology can be amazing because then it can deliver services like love, respect, which can help people out of these things, but it can also be used for bad as well.
Mm. One of the things I really remember from growing up in the age of MSN Messenger is actually almost forming relationships with people I didn't know who they were. Yeah. They were just on the other end of what was then the beginnings of social media, and now you have... and that was it. You were in a relationship.
Yeah.
Never met. You were in a relationship. And that, for me, I think is really scary because...
it's frightening.
Social media now allows us to create lives and personas that we put out there, and it's carefully curated, and you give an example of yourself, and you're falling in love with a curated life, not even with the real person. We are going to keep talking to Holly about this.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast. You can get in touch on all the socials on @BadassWomen'sHour. Now let's get back to our guest.
We are talking to Holly Bourne, author of How Do You Like Me Now and ambassador for the Love Respect campaign with Women's Aid, all about how we talk to young people about their relationships and potentially abuse within it. One of the things I want to talk about, we talked a lot about kind of girls experiencing abusive relationships, and I guess what we, where the language we use when we talk about that is we say you have been the victim of an abusive relationship. But I wonder, Holly, if you know, the boys on the other side of this relationship, not always boys, sometimes girls and girls, but some, you know, the boys on the other side of this relationship, do they know what they are doing? Are they also just acting out the tropes they see?
Oh, again, I could be here. I mean, that unpicking that, like, why do abusers abuse, particularly, you know, why do male abusers abuse male? Because there is a very gendered element to it. I think a lot of it comes from, you know, patriarchy and male entitlement and feeling ownership of women. And, you know, it's usually, I think, abuse comes from you want to control this person, and you just get these huge, overwhelming feelings that you can't soothe yourself, and so you put it onto the other person and to try and calm yourself down. It's up to debate whether or not abusers always know what they're doing, but the impact of their behaviour is just so traumatising to the victim that it's sort of, to some degree, I'm a bit like, I don't know if they do know if they're doing it or not. But if you consider the huge epidemic of, you know, domestic abuse in this country, lots of boys grew up in abusive households, and that's all they knew. And that doesn't always mean that they make them an abuser, but as I said, if we've got, you know, over a third of young people currently going, well, I definitely was, and over a third of the two-thirds going, oh, I didn't even realise I was, you know, where does that trace back? Where is that all coming from? And I do believe it's because we just do not know what a healthy relationship looks like. And we need to educate young people and old people. It's never too late to learn what healthy love looks like, to be like, this is what...
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Should be like, this is how it should feel, and this is what you should be put up with, and this is what you absolutely cannot put up with, because it would ruin you.
I'm still learning.
It sounds actually like women and older women would also benefit from reading your book, not only if they're mothers or their parents, but also to maybe understand how they've arrived where they are, Holly.
It's funny that you say that, because since The Places I've Cried in Public came out, I get more messages from older women, whatever that means, like, I mean, like 20 up, you know, kind of going, I wish I'd read this book when I was younger. I have got women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s who have finally been able to make sense of their lives from reading a book aimed at teenagers. Mm-hmm. And what I love about writing for teenagers is because when they're reading The Places I've Cried in Public, before they fall in love for the first time, I'm just getting messages from them, the abuser in this book school.
Yes, I'm watching some language there.
Sorry.
But don't go out with him. Yes.
Yeah, and they're just, they read the book and they're like, right, won't do that, on with my day. And you've just potentially stopped something happening, where I've got these older women going, oh, if only I'd known, if only I had words for what I was experiencing all those years ago, but I'm still struggling to make sense with.
Andy, you've got sons. Did you have to ever have a conversation with them about, actually, this is how you treat women, or what you're doing now feels good for you but probably doesn't feel great for them?
It was really interesting, actually. So I wrote a book in 2012 called What Have I Done, about an abusive relationship, a domestic situation where, from the outside looking in, the woman has everything. It was my second book, and it went absolutely nuts. Really, it was the book that was my breakthrough novel. And again, what you're saying, Holly, the reaction from people who are like, oh my gosh, this is my story. And it was the first time I think we'd really written about things like control, emotional control. It wasn't always a physical abuse. It was financial control. It was coercion. It was all those kind of things, which now, of course, are illegal. But at the time when I wrote the book, it wasn't. And I was writing it and talking very openly to my sons about what I was writing. And I am amazed now. I mean, they're in their 20s. Obviously, they're grown men, and they're, you know, they have relationships themselves, and they are very, very aware, and they always have been. And I can remember we were talking at home around the dinner table about a situation where a man had tapped the bum of a woman walking past the table. They were drunk. These men were drunk. And I was reading it out of a magazine, and both my boys went, that is not okay. That is absolutely not. And I thought, I was really quite overwhelmed. I was delighted that was their reaction, but they were really aware. And even something like a microaggression, a microcontrol, or a microabuse, as you would see it, they were absolutely hot on it. And I think they are much more educated. I think they're of that generation where it's been in their language and it's been in their understanding a lot more. And I'm, yeah, glad of it.
We actually have a caller on the line, Ben. Ben, you're saying you were actually violent to your partner 15 years ago.
Yes. Hi, you're all right.
Hi, thanks so much for calling us. What, I guess for us, what triggered that and what changed since?
I was young. I was 20, 21 at the time. And we went through some difficult times, and we had a child. And what had happened, we had the kid, and eventually I went through the court system, and I was put through a domestic violence program, which was hard for a young person to go through. And I went through that, and at the time, I'm not really sure, as a young person, I was quite an angry, I was quite a paranoid person, but from the course that I went on, I I definitely learned ways of life and how to handle paranoia or how to handle yourself, I think, yeah. And I just wanted to come on and say that that helped me from that time ago and from now. It's you know, it's a different way of doing things, yeah.
And thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think it was very brave. What would you say to...
I wanted to share that with people, yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to maybe a young man who has been violent towards his partner or feels like maybe he's recognising some of his behaviour in the stuff Holly's talking to now? What would you advise him?
I think it'd take a lot for someone to recognise it themselves. You have to take a step back. And it's all about what you're doing in your life as well, and I see that now. And I had a child with the lady the victim, and we, the daughter's 11, and we have a complete, a very good relationship with the child now, with each other, and we have relationships separate, and and I can tell you that just from the course that I went on. Which is, and I tell you now, that was great for me. And it was hard at the time, and I did it.
How long was the course?
It seemed like a long time. it was definitely a good 8 to 10 months, maybe 12, okay. But it was maybe even a bit longer, yeah. So, yeah.
And has it made you see your relationship with your daughter any differently?
Yeah, we've always had a good, yeah. And, well... Yeah, I think obviously I can control any anger or anything like that. I'm obviously an older person, but my daughter's great. And she's never had a bad parent even. She's in high school now. Yeah.
Ben, can I ask you? This is a personal question, but when you were growing up, was there violence in your household?
My mum and dad split when I was 5, I think. Mm-hmm. So there was never any violence within me and my mum living together. I saw my dad every weekend, which is why I had so much respect for being a single parent for myself and you know, that's why my daughter's got me to do that, yeah.
Ben, I think it takes a lot of courage to be able to talk about the stuff that we have, and I can hear it in your voice, some level still of shame or regret around, and
yeah but I wanted to share it, definitely, because I'm passionate that about that, definitely.
Thank you so much for sharing it, and I'm so pleased that you found something that could help you and that has changed your life but also the life of your former partner and your daughter, I think.
Yeah,
I think Ben calling in will change the lives of men listening. I think it's incredible.
Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Holly, I just was so touched listening to Ben there, because I think we can really often get into a place as women talking about men in the 21st century where we are like, they've done this wrong and they've done this wrong and they've done this wrong. And we don't talk about the ability for change or the ability to adapt behaviours or to say, actually, I recognise that that was wrong and I want to do something differently. How can we start talking to young men about this? How do we have those conversations, thinking like Mandy with sons or Hayla with, you know, your daughter's friends and the boys that she brings home? How do we start saying, hang on, have you noticed what you're doing here? Hang on, that's a bit strange, isn't it? Stop holding up the signs outside somebody's house.
And well, I do think that sex and relationship education, you know, it's going to become on the curriculum. And I was speaking at the sex education forum just before Christmas, kind of talking to educators about how you can use fiction in the classroom to help start these discussions with both young women and young men about what a healthy relationship looks like and what a healthy relationship doesn't look like. Because healthy relationships underpin every other aspect of anyone's life. Your ability to have and maintain healthy relationships impacts your employability, your mental health, your friendships, your physical health. You know, to be able to love happily and healthily and safely is paramount, and we're not taught until now, thankfully, you know, the curriculum is changing about how to do that. And it doesn't have to be finger waggy. So even though I was talking about abuse and rape all the way through the sex education program, we're all laughing. You can take these serious matters and kind of point at the ridiculous, as long as you can create a place that's safe and people feel like Ben could to talk without shame and stigma, considering it is in so many people's lives. If it, if you haven't been touched by abuse yourself, anyone in your immediate circle will have done. Yep. It's everywhere. We need to start, stop pretending it's not there and start naming it and talking about it. And that will kind of get rid of the misinformation, get rid of the stigma, get rid of the shame. And I do believe, as I said, sort of fiction is an amazing way to educate, because it's very safe. You can put the book down if it upsets you and go, okay, I'm just going to have a breather. It's usually powerful. Learning through story is so powerful. But I think we need to change the stories that we tell and not have creepy guys hanging outside your house and kind of be like, you know what's really romantic? Like waiting until you both feel really safe and ready before you have sex. Like that's true romance, or like loving someone for exactly who they are rather than just little bits of them, like they're a pick and mix selection.
I think that is a really interesting point, which is we have such a such an ingrained belief around what romance looks like. How can we start creating heroes and heroines that are doing things differently? If you were to imbue your hero with three great character traits of a man who is good at relationships, what would they be?
Kindness, empathy, because I think it's really hard in heterosexual relationships for men to truly understand what it means to be a woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of believe to some degree you're in an oppressed group and you have to deal with a lot of stuff just for the moment you leave your house and don't quite understand. And so ability to kind of listen to that and try and understand it, even though you never truly will, that is, you know, it's an amazing thing. Just patience. You know, love is a complicated thing. Every human being is flawed. That doesn't mean it's okay to be abusive to each other. But, you know, patience, accepting someone for all aspects of who they are, not just falling in love with somebody at the beginning, going, you're perfect. And then when they start being a little bit of this or a little bit of that, going, oh, why are you like this? That's not so great. Can't you go back to, you know, it's just seeing people's, like, you know, you get to the point now where you can pick, like pick and mix your own quality streets in and only get like the green triangles. Yeah, it's really expensive.
I didn't know you could do you, that.
And then they lead up to Christmas, it's like build your own tin of quality streets. And I'm like, okay, with quality streets, that's all right, but not with a romantic partner. You've got to like embrace the whole tin, even a sticky toffee that everyone leaves to the end. Like, if you're going to fall in love with someone, fall fully
toffee
in love.
Penny is my favourite.
My quality tin partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love it. Holly, thank you so much for coming in and joining us. If people want to find out more about Love Respect, where can they find it?
Just go on the Love Respect website, and anything that you can do to donate to Women's Aid. They always need money. They want to make this, educate as many people as possible, take it into universities, try and start a live chat service so that young people can actually, you know, message online, because lots of young people struggle with the phone. Like, any money fundraiser you can do as well would be much appreciated.
It really would. We do not have enough funding for amazing organisations like Women's Aid. They need the help. Please do it. Holly, thank you so much. Holly Bourne, author of How Do You Like Me Now and new one,
The Places I've Cried in Public.
The Places I've Cried in Public, out now. Please go find them. They're brilliant. You'll love them.
You've been listening to Badass Women's Hour. If you like the show, then help more people find us. You can tag us or talk to us on social media using @BadassWomen'sHour, or you can be really lovely and leave us a review and a rating. 5 stars, please. It helps boost us up the podcast rankings and allows other people to find us. We'll be back next week with more badass guests and in-depth chat.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.